This is a flock of guinea hens. They're often called African pheasants because of their origins, and the farmer's watchdog because of the sounds they make when spooked. They also can be called big-time consumers of ticks.
I almost never find a tick when I've been staying in the open areas that they patrol.
That's Rebecca Gilbert. She's one of the farmers at Native Earth Teaching Farm in Chilmark on Martha's Vineyard, where they've kept guinea fowl for about 15 years.
Guineas really specialize in ticks, and I've personally seen a guinea fowl walk past an ant, look at a spider, and then see a tick and go for the tick.
With tick-borne diseases becoming more prevalent, guinea hens are one of just a handful of biocontrol methods researchers are looking at as they search for innovative ways to take the fight directly to the tick. And if the guinea fowl eat ticks as advertised, Barnstable County's entomologist Larry Dapsis is up for giving them a try, though he has his doubts.
I'd love to release 10,000 of those in Nickerson State Park and see what happens.
People on Cape Cod say there are more ticks than ever before. And the old-timers say that when they were young, they didn't see any black-legged ticks, more commonly known as deer ticks. The truth is, no one really knows when black-legged ticks arrived. Scientists only began paying attention to tick numbers on the Cape and Islands after they were well-established and people already were sick. The longest-running tick research project in the world is underway here at the Carey Institute in Millbrook, New York. Research that one day could be used to fight tick-borne diseases on the Cape and Islands.
Okay. First trap, chipmunk.
Yes.
Peter Rockerman is the lead assistant on what's called the Mouse Project at the Carey Institute.
I like to warm up with a mouse or two before I go for a chipmunk. They're a little difficult to wrangle.
Each morning, Rockerman and his crew of four researchers put on baggy white jumpsuits. They tuck their pants into their socks and head into the woods. There, they check rows of safety deposit box-sized traps for mice, chipmunks, and squirrels. Small mammals known to carry ticks and Lyme disease. Rockerman sits on the ground and takes out a scale, some tools, gotcha, and a reinforced plastic freezer bag. He shakes the chipmunk out of the trap and into the bag. He snags it by the scruff of the neck and notes things such as its sex and weight, and he counts how many ticks are on the head and ears. It's the same information that's been collected from trapped animals here for more than 20 years.
Okay, so here, check it out right here, that little spot right at the tip of the tweezers there, just the maybe 2 millimeters diameter, that little circle spot, that's a larva. So this tick is getting its first blood meal right now.
The tick also is likely contracting Lyme disease at the same time, because one answer to the chicken and egg riddle, which came first, the tick or the Lyme disease, could be the mouse. Ticks are born disease-free. They typically acquire Lyme disease from their favorite meal, the white-footed mouse. Mice are excellent hosts because there are lots of them on the forest floor, and they are very poor groomers. Research shows that between 75 and 95% of ticks feeding on mice will contract Lyme disease.
Okay, so right now we're sort of between two peak tick seasons. The nymphal peak usually happens in May to June, and we expect a larval peak in August.
Richard Ostfeld is one of the world's leading researchers in Lyme disease ecology and a senior scientist at the Carey Institute. He says that much of what people assume is true about ticks is actually wrong. They don't jump or leap from trees. Even the common name deer tick is a misnomer.
By calling it the deer tick, you're helping to perpetuate this notion that there's a tight linkage between deer numbers and tick numbers, and that all you need to know about Lyme disease risk is how many deer there are, and all you need to do to control Lyme disease is control the deer herd. And those are ideas that have been largely discredited.
The conventional wisdom about warm winters being good for ticks and hot, dry summers being bad? Also untrue.
We find very little impact of winter temperature or precipitation or summer temperature and precipitation on tick numbers. Tick numbers are driven largely by how many white-footed mice and secondarily chipmunks there are in the woods.
Back in the woods, Rockerman knocks the bait out of a trap and gets ready to wrangle another mouse.
Okay, well, this project has been running for approximately 20 years, and it's looking at the interaction between oak seed production or masting trees, the mouse populations, and tick populations. And so there's a really cool interaction between all three things there.
In years when there's lots of acorns, such as in 2010, the following year we'll see a spike in the mouse population, as mice are better able to survive the winter. And that's what happened. After the enormous acorn crop of 2010, 2011 saw a surge in mice numbers. That also meant that when the new baby ticks hatched last summer, they found lots of mice to feed on.
First year, you see a lot of oak seeds. Second year, you see a lot of an increase in the mouse population. And then in the following year, so 2 years after a big oak mass thing, we see a lot of Lyme disease-infected ticks.
That's this year, 2012. And as predicted, researchers say more nymphal ticks are on the ground than usual, and they're monitoring what percentage are infected with Lyme.
That's what I'm interested in, the whole interaction between seed production and the exploding mouse populations following big seed production years, and the year after that, having a giant spike in infected nymphs.
As thinking about tick ecology has evolved, it's become clear that seemingly small ecological changes can bring large, sometimes unexpected, results. Ostfeld says that knowing the roles acorns and animals play in the lives of ticks is paramount to finding ways of stopping them before they reach us. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.